Amen. Brother Jeremy Ivy tonight, amen. He preached to, amen. I told him, amen, at lunch that I've never heard, amen, David and Goliath from that perspective before. Amen. And it was, amen, and it was awesome. And I'm thankful tonight. Amen. But we love him, amen, for him to come and just obey the Lord tonight. Will you worship with him in the word as he comes tonight? Amen.
Now give Jesus a hand. There is such a world, life, family changing anointing that is in here tonight. I'm telling you, there is such an anointing that if you will allow God to do it. I want my Father to be perfect. And the way that happens is I've got to be weak. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. And I wonder tonight who is willing to be weak enough to let him bury some parts of you. That you don't ever have to be known by that ever again. I want to take you on a journey tonight to a place that you're only going to look at in the rearview mirror. That if you would be willing, you would never have to go there again. Wouldn't that be something? We go to funerals, we'll bury people, and sometimes some of those people who pass away, we never go to that graveside again. What if I told you that tonight would be the last night that you had to go to a graveyard? What if I told you tonight that some of the things that have had you bound, you could bring them up here to the graveyard? You see, what you see before you is an altar. You see a place of burial. But alongside of burial, you see a place of revival. If the altars could talk, if your tears could write the paragraphs of your story, imagine what the altar would say. Well, I can tell you this. If you left it here, it wouldn't be able to say nothing. Because if Jesus won't dig it up, the altar won't be there. What if I told you that if you were to bury some things tonight, you were to do some enduring, if you just keep fighting, there's a name that's written down that the enemy don't know. Your mama don't know. Your daddy don't know. Your friends don't know. There's a name that's written down that you don't know. But first, there's got to be a burial before we can get to the name change. Some folks have got to go through divorces to get a name change. What if I told you sometimes the name change just simply came with entrusting your father? Sometimes the name change just simply came when you keep on fighting and you keep on enduring. Can I tell you tonight? We're going to go on a journey, and we're going to bury some stuff. And I'm going to tell you this, if you leave here the same way, it won't be Jeremy Ivey's fault. The only thing that is going to stop you from your breakthrough is error and opportunity. Now look at your neighbor and go, and I just took the error out. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, if we could stand for the reading of the word. Lord, we thank you, Jesus. We give honor, amen, to the leadership of this house. We thank God for, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give you, Pastor. Amen. Genesis 35, and then I'm going to go to Revelation chapter 2. I'm just going to go ahead and go to Revelation chapter 2. I just felt led to go ahead and do it. Revelation chapter 2. If you're new, it's at the very back. It's that scary book that nobody likes to go to. But it's the revelation of Jesus. I didn't find fear in Revelation. I found my Father. Revelation 2 and 17, very familiar passage of Scripture, says, "He that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna." That's not just regular loaf bread. It's hidden manna. And the way you get to the hidden manna is you got to get to the hidden place. You got to overcome some stuff. You can't be willing to, when Pastor Jeff gets on your toes, you can't quit and leave the church. And then when somebody else gets on your toes, you can't quit and leave there. You got to overcome some stuff. Right. Sometimes what you got to overcome is in your mirror. Yeah. The enemy, the devil, is not your enemy. Your enemy is what you're looking at in the mirror. Because the fact of the matter is you will do what flesh wants to do if you don't get flesh crucified. Come on. Come on. Almost gonna move on. He said, "I will give to eat of hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the white stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. And I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it." Hallelujah. Now going over to Genesis chapter 35. Hallelujah. Starting in verse 16. "And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath. And Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said unto her, Fear not, for thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni. But his father called him Benjamin. And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave, that is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. And Israel journeyed and spread his tent beyond the tower of Edar." Father, we thank you tonight for the anointing that is in this house. Father, we thank you for what you're going to do. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, for every breakthrough. Father, I thank you for every miracle. I thank you for every salvation. Father, I thank you that tonight there are going to be things that are buried in this service that will never be seen again in marriages. It'll never be seen again in homes. Father, we're going to bury some things tonight. Lord, we know that you are able. Father, we put our trust in you. We magnify you. Oh, King Jesus, do it again, Lord. We give you the praise, the glory, and all the honor in Jesus' mighty name. And in Judah Tabernacle, would you give Jesus Christ your most excellent praise? Look at your neighbor and say, "Here lies." Hallelujah. Here lies. You can be seated in the house. I believe tonight is an invitation to a burial. Here lies. I've been to so many funerals. The only graveside that I have visited on multiple occasions was that of my mother's, and she's buried right next to my grandfather and my grandmother and my uncle. And I will go and I will see the stone, but I don't see my mom. I see the grave plot, but I don't see my mom. And I want to tell you that there are things tonight that if you will let God do what he does best, you'll never deal with it again. Now, some of you are raising your eyebrow at me. Well, let me just go ahead and just say this. I've been clean and sober for 15 years.
Amen.
This year, 15 years, I've been clean and sober from alcohol and opiates and marijuana. But clean and sober. God restored me. He rescued me. He saved me. Now, if he is able to do that, then why can he not do what you need?
Right.
We talk about where God brings us from, and some of you have a testimony of where God brought you from. You may not have touched the drug in your life. Maybe God delivered you from something else. But right now you are facing something. Again, I feel this in my spirit today, so heavy. Facing something that's bigger than you. Facing something that you can't deliver yourself of. But what if I told you tonight? What if I told you that this was a thing that could be buried in the graveyard of the altar? That you never have to see it again. Never again. When we read here in the scripture, I'm going to just kind of dive into that white stone just for a minute. Back in the Rome days of the Roman Empire, the gladiators, they would win the tournament. They would be the last man standing. They would survive all of these great things that they would survive. And they would give them, after they win, they would give them a stone. And that stone would separate them from everybody else. That stone said, I survived. The stone said that I overcame what the average person could not overcome. I overcame something that somebody else just dreamt about. I done it. And so what they would do was with that white stone, it would allow them access into places. It would allow them to go into places that they had never even dreamed of. They would go to the great gated area. They would have these big banquets, and they would have these big dinners and these big hooplas, you know, with the kings and the emperors and great big to-do people. Basically, it would be like if you were to get invited to the Oscars. You'd get the red carpet treatment, but you got invited because of a special occasion. So what would happen was they would get to the door, and they would look at them, and they would say, wait a minute, you don't belong here. You got to be with the regular folk. You got to go back until they pull out the stone. And the stone said and signified, I have survived something. I was chosen to be here. I did this. God brought me through this. You got to understand where I'm taking it. See, that stone is what we're going to get. It's a new name. The enemy doesn't even know the name. Hallelujah. He don't even know what it is. He has no clue what it is. But you're going to know that name. You're going to know that name. And it's going to be something that signifies that I overcame something, that something was buried, that I got a name change. That I got a name change. That I'm not who I used to be. That I'm not who I was. It's a name change. You see, I believe that if God can deliver you from drugs, he can get you, or he can deliver you from your bad attitude. I believe if God can deliver somebody from drugs, he can deliver from suicidal thoughts. I believe if God can deliver somebody of alcoholism, that he can deliver somebody from self-harm. I believe that if God can deliver somebody, even from drugs and alcohol and marijuana, that he can deliver somebody from pornography and whoremongering. I believe God can do it. He is not restricted. He don't have a layer or a level where he says, well, I just can't go any further. The God that we serve is able. He is able. And so that takes us from Revelation to now the Old Testament. Because we know there's a name waiting on us. But how do we get to that name? Read here in Genesis 35. Rachel, she's in heavy and hard labor. They're on their way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. But another name for Ephrath in Hebrew is fruitfulness. They were on their way to a location to be fruitful. Now, before you can be fruitful, you've got to bury some stuff. The process of pruning is this. For a plant or a tree to be fruitful, there has to be dead things that are cut off from the tree. There have to be things that are not producing to be removed from the tree. And that allows growth to take place. It allows the increase. Can I tell you that you're holding on to things that you need to prune? You're even holding on to some people because you think that without those people, you'll never survive. But what if I told you that God is preparing you for pruning? That you need to cut ties. Maybe you need to block some numbers. If the only time, amen, when you hear from those people, and this is maybe just a life lesson, I guess you could say, if your day starts out great and you're like Tony the Tiger, and you get up and you're feeling great, and then you get around somebody and they make you cuckoo, maybe it's time to move that box out the way. I don't keep people in my circle. I don't keep people in my circle. And if they're causing damage and bringing drama, I eliminate those people. I can love them, but I guard my borders. You are called to love your enemies, not make treaties with them. I don't allow it to go on. I don't allow the drama to go on. And if they come to you running somebody down, boo-boo, go ahead and mark them. Don't you let them in your circle. Because the moment that they fall out with you, they're going to tell somebody else about you. They're going to run you down. It's time that we do some pruning. Because if I'm ever going to produce, I got to be pruned.
Come on. Amen. Woo! Come
on. Somebody say, prune me, Jesus.
Prune me, Jesus.
There was some olive trees. There was a farmer. He had a garden of olives. And he had all these olive trees out there. And his fire had happened. And it was a real bad heat came through so bad that it caused the olive trees, they caught on fire. And they had to go out there, and people that didn't know anything about olive trees looked at it and said, oh man, he's lost everything. But here's the thing about olive trees. Their roots run deep. So the farmer knew, all I've got to do is go out here and clear the ground. I've got to clear out the debris. I've got to clear out the damage. I've got to sweep it out of the way. Because sometimes your growth is hindered because of what you're allowing to lay on fruitful soil. And if you would remove some things, get the stony things out of the way, get the grudge out of the way, get the unforgiveness out of the way. Oh, some of y'all need to forget. That's an F word we don't like to talk about. Amen. Some of us need to forgive. Amen. But he just went out there. He had the dead tree was out there that wasn't producing. So he just simply moved the limbs out of the way. He moved all this other stuff out of the way. And he takes it over and he discards it so something new can be born. You see, you've got to bury you if what God sees is going to come forth. The only way you're going to walk in what God has for you is you got to stop walking in you and start walking in him.
Come on. Woo!
So here goes Rachel. She's like our sister. When he told me she was doing July, I said, my Lord, I'm praying for you, honey. Lord, have mercy. I told her this morning, I said, don't you have that baby in this revival. And then her daddy told me she got 3 more months. I said, God. I know I'd be miserable. I'm miserable now. I'm miserable. But sometimes the enemy tells you to give up before you're fruitful. They're on their way to a destination of growth. They're on their way to a destination that's even prophetic, that in the future it would be the home of the Messiah. Bethlehem would be a majestic, miraculous place. And ain't it something that on your destination that the enemy will tell you, you will not make it. You won't survive. There's no way. Everybody before you failed. Everybody before you could not survive. I'm talking to somebody right now. Because right now, the path that you're on, it is so overwhelming. You're saying, there's no way I'm going to get through this. Everything just seems to keep going wrong. You say, Lord, I need you to move in my car. Your tires go flat. You get the tires fixed. Then your carbonator go out. You get the carbonator, alternator, and all this other things. Something else go out. All of this other stuff goes on. I don't know about cars. The carbonator might not even get in the car. Some of y'all looking at me like that's crazy. Look, I don't know nothing about cars. I know how to keep air in it, check the oil. I know how to change a flat tire. Don't trust me under your hood. I'll give you some gas money, but don't get it to work on me. Alternator be going bad. Get the alternator fixed, your battery died. Get your battery fixed, something else go out. And it's just got, when you go to the doctor, you get one thing took care of, then it's something else. You get one thing took care of, then it's something else. It's like every time you go to that physician, something is continually wrong. What if we were to direct our path to the great physician? What if we were to say, God, I'm trusting you.
Hallelujah.
Because here's the thing. The stripes were never bigger than the sacrifice. So here's Rachel. Bless her heart. She's tired. She's wore out. Angry, no doubt. I'm going to tell you something. My wife, that last month, I didn't mess with her. Anything she wanted, I got it. I told Pastor Jeff today, I would rather fight a grizzly bear with a switch than be on my wife's bad side. But I remember that last month and a half, last couple months of the pregnancy. Bless her heart, she's walking around. Take a few steps. Oh, Lord, I'm ready to get this baby out of me. Lord, I'm ready now, Lord, to get this baby out. Miserable. Ain't it something that in your fruitfulness, the devil tries to send famine so you get your mind off of favor? He wants you to go ahead and do something and so it will be underdeveloped. Oh. He don't want you to have an underdeveloped miracle. Oh, Jesus. That ain't even what I'm preaching on. But you can't give up before it's time. Look at somebody say, keep cooking.
Keep cooking.
So here goes Rachel. She's miserable. It's been hard on her. She's travailed a lot. And it comes time for her to have the baby. And the midwife says, you're going to have this baby. It's going to be born. And she looks at the baby. And all of her anxiety and all the stress that's on her, all the weakness that's on her, all the pain that she's been going through. And she looks at that baby. And she's all sorrowful. And in her last breath, she disperses a curse. In her last breath, she disperses something that would follow this boy the rest of his life. Can I tell you, I don't care what hell's last breath is, because I do know this, the last breath of hell that I'm going to experience will be my first breath in glory. She says, I'm going to name him Benoni. And y'all know what this, well, some of y'all know, I know Pastor Jeff and them, they know they Bible scholars. They know their whole Bible. They going to write their own commentary. But for those of you that don't know, Benoni means son of my sorrow. Son of my sorrow, or son of sorrow. What that would mean is this boy, when he grows up, it didn't matter if he was having a good day. Didn't matter who he got around. When he got around them folk, they would say, hey, ain't that old sorrow right there? That before they got to know him, they knew his past or somebody else's mess. Some of you have been getting judged by somebody else's mess. Some of you have been dealing with stuff that somebody else done. That when they see you, they look down on you because what somebody else done. Or maybe they look at you, maybe if you're like me, your whole family's just jacked up and crazy. And they look at you and say, man, there ain't no hope for him. No. Anywhere, if this boy was to go, they would look at him and they would go to a moment that boy had no idea about. He would go to a moment and they would judge him by something he never experienced. They would look down on him by something somebody else went through. No, don't ever think that somebody else's mess will be your last message. I'm telling you, hallelujah, Rachel says, I'm going to name him Benoni. And that last breath that she has, here goes the midwife. She's carrying the baby. I love this passage of scripture because one of the most powerful things happens in less than a few words. It's one of my favorite texts in the whole Bible. It's what God can do in a sentence. He takes that baby. Takes the baby. So she named him Benoni, but his father.
Come on.
If you only knew what your father was about to do. See, this baby had no control over what its name was. This baby had no control over the environment that it was born into. This baby had no control. And then some of you parents, you remember the day your child was born. I remember my firstborn when Sybil, when she was born. I remember I got lucky enough to go in the room to where they clean them up and everything, because there were no other babies that were born that night in that hospital. And so I got to go into the room. And this is going to sound a little comical to some of you, but I was very oblivious to a lot of things when it came to how they got some shots that when they give you a shot now, this needle that they use, the needle would retract. Yeah. It'd make this pop sound and the needle would retract. I had never seen nothing like that before. But let me tell you what happened before I learned that. I see my daughter. She's weak. She's fragile. She has no muscle. She's crying. She's new to this area. And I'm weeping. And I'm crying because I see this beautiful baby. And I see her and they put her under that little heat lamp. And then all of a sudden I look over and they got these shots out. And my baby has no idea what's about to come her way. And I begin to cry some of the biggest tears I've ever cried. In that moment, I couldn't even imagine what I was or who I was until my daughter showed up. It's hard for me to imagine my life before my kids. And I look and I see this precious baby laying there innocent, ain't done a thing to nobody. And I look over and this nurse has got these needles laid out. And I'm so mad and I'm crying. And all of a sudden she goes over and she gets that first shot. And I'm crying so much, I'm wiping my eyes, I miss what happens. She gave her the shot. And then I'm watching, she gives her another shot. And when she gave her that second shot, I heard a pop. And I looked and I didn't see no needle. And here's my baby screaming her lungs out, crying. I'm crying. And then I don't see that needle. Honey, let me tell you something. I used to be swole now. Here I am. I got heated quick. This nurse, I'm not kidding you, she was probably about this tall. Now on the other side of the glass, the family is looking in. We have family and friends. And they're looking in. And they watch me as I walk up to this nurse. Standing over the top of her, I said, "You just broke that needle off in her leg." Finally, she gets the needle. She's like, "Look, look, 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 look!" And she's making the needle come out. You want to? I was crying because then I was like, "I'm gonna hit you up, so sorry." She's laughing, but the attention I want to draw to that newborn, who has no idea, the one thing that I can tell you. Is that every single day, that Sybil was in the room. From the moment I found out she was there, I would talk to her. Every day, I would sing to her and talk to her. Every day, multiple times a day. First thing in the morning, the first thing I would do is I would get up and I would roll over and I would lay my hands on the belly and I would say, hey, baby, it's your daddy. I want you to know I love you and I'm so proud of you already. Hey, this is your daddy. Everything's going to be all right. Hey, this is your daddy. I'm going to take care of you. Hey, this is your daddy. And I want you to know this is going to happen. That's going to happen. You're not going to have to worry about nothing. Daddy's going to always be here. Ain't it something? In the conception of salvation, your father has already spoken who he sees you to be. When she came out of the womb before that crazy moment I told you about, when she came out of the womb, they said, do you want to cut the cord? I said, yeah, I want to cut the cord. And then they said, do you want to hold her? And here she's crying and just a screaming, loudest baby. I'm talking about, she's still loud. She's been physically 13, she's still loud. And she was crying and the nurses were standing around me, tears coming out of my eyes. And I said, hey, baby, this is your daddy. Can I tell you that baby stopped crying? And she opened her eyes and she looked at me and smiled. Nurses tell me, they say, that's very rare that that happens. She looked at me and she smiled because she knew that the voice that I'd been hearing, I had now found myself in his arms. The voice that was telling me, I'm going to get you through this. Ain't it something to know that when your father speaks, ain't it something to know that no matter how vulnerable you feel, no matter how afraid that you feel, the moment that you get in the arms of your daddy, the moment that daddy says, I got you, I know that it's messy right now. I know that you're afraid. I know it's raining outside, but I'll keep you covered. I know people are walking away, but I'll be with you. I'll go with you all the way. I know they walked out, but I'm with you. I know they said this about you, but I got you. I'm your father. Woo! Yeah. Held that baby. And I looked at her, and I saw her with all the purpose of all the dreams that I've had for her. Here's this moment, and new life is about to begin. And before that baby can take its first breath, a curse falls above his head. And Rachel says, I'm going to call him the son of sorrow, or the son of my sorrow. Can I tell you, parents, watch how you talk around your kids. Don't allow your poison to influence and try to shut off their praise. Because if you want them to praise, don't be spewing poison in front of them. That's free. Don't get me how to raise my kids. Well, all right then. When your kids start acting as bitter as you, you can go back to this moment. So, the midwife, she brings the baby over. She said, well, she's going to call him Benoni. And his daddy said, what? I'm headed somewhere fruitful. I'm headed somewhere fruitful. She has died. Death is not following with us, but fruitfulness is. I'm not going to allow what she went through to infect you. I'm not going to allow it to follow you anymore. I'm not going to name you after where we've been and what we went through. I'm not going to allow that to follow you. Can I tell you that his father, I'm thankful that his father, I'm thankful that I serve a but God that says, I don't care what they said. They said you'll always be this way. They said this will be that way. But your father has other plans. But his father named him Benjamin, which means the son of my right hand. That meant everywhere that boy went, he was connected to faith. Everywhere he went, they might not have knew him, but they knew faith. Everywhere he went, they might not even been able to talk, but when they seen him, they saw faith. Amen. They might not have been able to hear him, amen, but they saw him, saw faith. Everything about the connection to the kingdom does not matter what you've been through. It don't matter who tried to say what. When your father speaks, it changes things.
Yes.
seated. Jacob says, I'm not going to lead him after that because I'm not going to allow that to follow him. What if I told you that God's no respecter of person? He's no respecter of person. So what he's done for one, he'll do for another. I've been through things in my life. You see, just as much as the Lord delivered me in 2009 from pills, and alcohol, and marijuana, he delivered me from depression. There were times that I would get up in the morning and I would think about all the things that I went through. I would think about how when I was 6 years old, how my uncle had locked me in a room with him and took my innocence from me. I would think about how I would never be the same. How because of I've been a victim of every form of abuse. And I began to think about all of those things that had happened to me. And they followed me every day. And this is one of the reasons why this is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. It's because when I see this moment in the Word, I see me. I didn't ask for them things to happen to me. I didn't ask for it. But my Father saw this moment. And he says, I'm not going to let him live the rest of his life this way. I just need you to bring the coffin to me. I just need you to bring you to me. I just need you to bring you to me so that I can sign your new name. So that I can change things. So that I can bury some things. So that you ain't got to deal with it no more. Can I tell you that in his little life, he didn't know unless his daddy told him. Unless somebody kept it. Well, this is what your mama wanted to call him. This is, he would have said, why? Well, she went through a hard time. And I imagine he said, well, I'm glad daddy got a hold of me. Can I tell you that on the journey to fruitfulness, on the journey of favor, there is a burial ground. There is a cemetery. And as you begin to walk the lines of favor, as you begin to traverse across the roads of breakthrough and healing and fruitfulness, you will look to the right side and you'll see a graveyard. And in that graveyard is where somebody buried something that was hindering them. You'll see where somebody was going through something and they buried it because they wanted to go into fruitfulness. And they didn't want to die and be frail. They didn't want to live in famine. They wanted to live in favor. They wanted to live in what their father had for them. And I tell you that I could just imagine. And as Jacob held his son, and I began to envision myself as I was holding my daughter in the midst of all the tears and all the crying and her vulnerable state. And he looks and he says, I'm going to call him the son of my right hand because I'm going to make sure that everything that I'm connected to, he's connected to. Can I tell you that that is the will of Jesus Christ? He said, the same works that I do shall he do and greater. That is the Father right there. He says, I'll go with you all the way. You're going to have people walk out of your life, but Jesus never will. You're going to have people stab you in the back, but Jesus never will. You're going to have all kind of stuff happen. The devil's going to tell you all kind of lies. I ain't got to live off the lies when I've got the Word. And I know what my Father says. I know what my Father said. So, when I was studying this message, I began to think about all the funerals that I've been to. The funerals that I've preached. And they give you that little program. Some of y'all need to get you a piece of paper. Or maybe in your phone. Just make a note. Go to those funerals and they would read off somebody's name. And those old tombstones, it would say, here lies so-and-so. And this is what the Lord spoke to me to share tonight. Because some of you don't have to leave the way you came. And some of you won't leave the way you came. I believe tonight we're going to bury pornography. I believe tonight we're going to bury depression. I believe we're going to bury anxiety. Can I tell you, I believe that we're going to bury some sicknesses. From the moment he gave me my miracle in 2012 of cancer, I haven't went back to Vanderbilt Hospital in that surgery room because I had no need to, because God got me out of it. Hallelujah. I've got no need to go back to it. Ain't got no need to. Some things that you can drive by the graveyard that you went and visited one time, but you watch somebody be put down, all you got to do is say, I'm not going back to this moment ever again. He has given you dominion. He has given us dominion. He has given us his anointing. He shed his blood. Can I tell you, some of you are worried about coming up here. You say, I can't bury it. I can't pay the cost. I remember when my mom passed away, the funeral cost was around $8,000 to $10,000. And I didn't have $8,000 to $10,000 on me. My mom didn't have any kind of health or any kind of burial insurance or life insurance. So I didn't have that money just laying around. And so it was a price that I could not pay. Can I tell you, where you're thinking the cost is too much? He's already paid for the burial. He's already paid for it. He paid for it at Calvary. There ain't a thing you got to worry about. It's already covered. He just needs you to come and pay your last respect. And you ain't got to respect it if you don't want to. But all you got to do is come and lay it here and let your Father do the work. So, this was how I seen it in my mind. Here lies anxiety. It is preceded in death by depression. It's preceded in death by adultery. It's preceded in death by fornication. It's preceded in death by lust. It's preceded in death by drug addiction, alcoholism, porn addiction. It is preceded in death by self-harm. It is preceded in death by homosexuality. It is preceded in death, amen, by, what is it called now? When people don't know what they are? Transgender. It is preceded in death by blindness. It is preceded in death by cancer and diabetes. It is preceded in death because here lies what I've been dealing with. But if you keep reading the funeral program, it says this. It will say they are preceded in death by, and it will give off a list of everybody who has died. And then it says this. It is survived by. Can I tell you, you can leave here and you can say, this is here. It's laying here. Here it lies. It's preceded by this. You may have multiple things that need to be buried, but we are survived by Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He is the same yesterday, the beginning and the end. He is Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. He is the bright morning star. He is the rose of Sharon. He is my El Shaddai. He is my Father. He is my Redeemer. He is my Savior. I am survived by a King. I am survived by glory. I'm survived by the anointing. Here lies the mess, but I'm survived by the message. I'm going to tell you right now, some of you are waiting for the altar call and you don't know it. You're feeling it right now. There's a knot in your throat. You're feeling it right now. And you're worrying, what's this one going to think? What's that one going to think? Can I tell you, truth be told, if a lot of those people that were looking down on you were to be honest with themselves, when we came to the altar, because here's the thing, the altar was not just designed for the lost. It's for all of us. It is an equal opportunity employee. The truth be told, when somebody looks down, I've found that it's always self-righteous people. They want to know what you've done. They want to know all of this stuff. And the truth is, if the Lord was to open up their closet, all of Jurassic Park would fall. Because I know I'm not just talking to lost people tonight. Because there's some folks in here right now, you've been dealing with some stuff. And there's some names that the enemy's trying to put on you. And you ain't got to leave here with it. You ain't got to leave here with it. Honey, I believe tonight is a night for some groundbreaking, some burials. He said that if I be lifted up, I will draw all men. That ain't just the saved. It ain't just the sinners. It ain't just restricted to race or creed or denomination. He said, I'll draw all men. The word draw in the Greek means to drag. That means that whatever is trying to hold you, when Jesus was lifted up off the cross, he took dominion over what was trying to hold you back. To drag something is to pull it without any kind of fight back. It has no control. When Jesus done what he done, sin no longer has control over us. Shame has no control over us. Addiction has no control. But it's us taking the authority and saying, Jesus, I'm bringing it to you because it's bigger than me. I can't do it. Some of you right now. Right now. If I were you, you're saying, when can I get up there? You understand that in that moment, a stone with your name on it, because you overcame fear, you overcame pride, you overcame it. And that night that I went to the altar, because that's what I did, I didn't want to deal with depression anymore. Got so bad right before I took it to the altar that I walked through the kitchen. First time I looked at a knife so I could just slice my wrist open. Then I had a gun. Because I feel like I'm broken. Vulnerability. And I was going to put the control in the hands of the enemy. So you, right now, you're thinking that you've got to carry this the rest of your life. And you don't. Right now, some graves are being opened up. Being buried. Can I tell you that the next service that I went to, I sat there and I thought, can he pull me out? Can he pull me out of this addiction? Can he pull me out of the fear? Can he pull me out? Some of you feel, because of things that happened to you as a child, then it'll follow you. Can I tell you that's a lie? God has healed me so much that I don't even, when I think about the things that happened to me, depression don't come my way no more. Because I say, here lies what happened to me. But I'm survived by what he's doing. Here lies the pain, but I'm survived by my praise. Here lies this wound, but I'm survived by the worship. Here lies the bitterness, the grudge, the unforgiveness. Here lies. Jacob said, I'm not going to let this boy go into a room with it. I'm not going to let it go anywhere. We're not going to get to our next destination with the name that his mama tried to put on him. Can I tell you, Rachel wasn't the only thing that was buried that day. The day that she was buried, so was the name Son of Sorrow. It was buried that day. And I tell you this tonight. I tell you this tonight that if you will bring it up here, it won't follow you home if you'll leave it. I want us all to stand here tonight. I want everybody just to drop your head. Because see, I know there's more than this few that's in here at this altar right now. Can I tell you tonight that you're so afraid, fear's not your portion. It's not your portion. I know some of you are saying, man, Brother Jeremy, you talked a lot today about pornography. It's one of the strongest addictions because it's free. The last night of the revival that we were in Texas, there were young people and old people that came up that wanted the Holy Ghost. And the majority of them that were up there were addicted to pornography. Young man came up and he said, I need help. I didn't look down on him. I didn't think less of him. Matter of fact, I told him, I said, I'm proud of you. Because you're willing to meet it head on and say, this is the problem. To confront it. He said, Brother Jeremy, he said, I don't believe this way. He said, I ain't got no peace at night. He said, I want more. I don't want this to be all that there is. I told him, I said, it's not. It's not. Can I tell you that that young man, right there in that service, gave his life to Jesus? We cast off the spirit, we cast it out, and he gave his life to Jesus. Got saved. And then he said, I want more. He said, I want more. And he got filled with the Holy Ghost. And it was just like a domino effect. And he said, I'm not the same anymore. He walked out with a joy he didn't have before. It's because something was buried. Here lies a dead microphone. I know we're laughing a lot tonight, but laughter is a good medicine. Here lies my pain. Here lies the baggage of my failed marriage. Here lies. See, I know what it is to have a failed marriage. My oldest two babies, I raised them for 7 years on my own. I know what it is to say, what's wrong? Why this? Why that? But I had to bury it. It don't have to follow you. Don't got to follow you tonight. I want everybody in here, bow your head. Hallelujah. These altars are open. Don't sit back and wait. Every head bowed. Amen. Open it. If you got to get up here, make sure you see your way.